So just how significant is the release of these videos by the US Department of Defense? Does it mean that UFOs exist?
Well, I guess it's open to interpretation to some degree, Sean. The article I wrote for The Conversation last week tried to sort of provide an account of that. So, I mean, I think my position there was pretty clear that I do regard this as very significant. I mean, historically, this is the first time that the Department of Defense has released and authenticated UFO footage produced by its own personnel. I don't think that's really open for debate, but that is immensely significant. But what I was trying to get at in that article was that that historically significant moment doesn't seem to have been appreciated as widely by news media in particular as we might have expected. In some ways, it's kind of like the moment that lots of UFO researchers have been waiting for, the so-called official confirmation, and it's finally happened, and it was kind of met with a little bit of a sort of whimper in a way, and I find that response pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was a little bit stunning. I must say, I only sort of really looked into it yesterday, independent of the fact that we were going to be doing this one. I just sort of decided to have a look into it yesterday and watch the videos themselves. And this is, as you say, I mean, I've always had a great fascination with UFOs, and yet this really was very much a whimper. It really just sort of flew under the radar at the moment, as if we sort of given up the ghost that this didn't have any kind of significance to people.
Yeah, I wonder, and this is something I tried to just briefly address in that article, I wonder if part of that has to do with the quality of the videos themselves. So one of the questions I've been interested in a while is, like, what would an authentic or legitimate portrayal of a UFO look like? One of the quandaries there is the general reaction seems to be, if it's too clear, then it's likely to be seen as fake. If it's too blurry, then the idea is, well, that could be anything. You know, I don't know what I'm looking at. The Navy UFO footage seems to fall into the second category. It's very grainy. It's infrared. On a superficial level, what the experience is for the viewer is like a blob on a screen. So it's not very visually impressive. On the other hand, if you acquaint yourself with how those videos were actually produced, the technology involved, the infrared technology, the people who produced the footage, okay, the highly skilled practitioners, the Navy pilots, and then the larger institutional context that this footage has been authenticated and publicly released by the Pentagon, in that sense, it starts to register as a kind of professional data. So despite the visually disappointing aesthetic qualities of the video, it's pretty solid as data. It seems to confirm that there is anomalous physical phenomena occurring in front of the cameras used by those Navy fighter jets.
Are we perhaps a bit spoiled in this day and age? And if this video had come out 20, maybe even 10 years ago, when the kind of technology we look at day by day on our phones wasn't, you know, commonplace, this might have made a bigger impact.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, Sean. I'm not... Certainly, I think sort of public standards of sort of... what we expect from visual portrayals has sort of changed over time. I think, again, one of the things I mentioned in that article was that, in a way, the visual disappointment enhances the legitimacy of the footage, because most people expect UFO footage to be a bit shaky or blurry because, you know, it's an unexpected event. So why would you expect a perfectly framed, perfectly focused portrayal? But I wonder, too, if, like, part of the bigger context here is the extent to which the sort of news media are kind of saturated with focus on COVID-19 for perfectly understandable reasons, and then also the sort of Donald Trump hurricane that's occupied a lot of news media attention over the last 4 years. And I wonder if those factors have contributed to the sort of obfuscation and the sort of marginalizing of this, you know, very significant moment.
Well, the interesting one that sort of came out of, I'll say my own reading into this situation yesterday, was where do we actually go from here with this footage? This footage is incredibly significant as evidence, as a moment in the research and belief of UFOs, but most scientists won't really address UFOs as a field of study, and there's very little you might say, legitimate evidence that's been out there, legitimate ways of studying this kind of phenomenon. So where do we actually go from here? We've got the evidence, but we don't seem to have a clue of what to do with it next.
Yeah, it's a very good question, Sean. It's something I've spent quite a bit of time asking myself as well, the sort of how do we explain the ignorance of the phenomenon? And I published a paper on this a couple of years ago that tries to sort of get at this question. To me, it seems like what's going on is either a genuine physical anomaly occurring in the atmosphere that's external to witnesses, which is what the Navy footage seems to depict, or it's sort of in people's heads. It's a collective delusion, or some sort of collective hallucination or whatever. Now, both of those explanations are unexplained. So if something anomalous and physical is going on, then the physicists, the astrophysicists and so on, should be drawn to that mystery to explain something that's unexplained in the world. I mean, we're talking about a phenomenon that seems to be disrupting military operations in the United States and elsewhere. So there's a scientific problem to be solved there. There's also a national security problem. But if that's not what's going on, and if it's just in people's heads and people just imagining things or watching so many movies or whatever, the psychologists and the social psychologists should be drawn to that to help us understand why is this happening. But in both cases, we see almost complete ignorance of the problem. It's no one really wants to put their hand up and take responsibility for solving it. I think that's partly because of how elusive the phenomenon is, and we don't necessarily have the sort of intellectual framework to develop a method to study it. In addition to that, I think we have to acknowledge that there's an intellectual taboo around the topic as well. So it's very prone to ridicule. Academics, whether you're in the humanities or the applied sciences, tend to be very concerned with their reputation, with prestige and building their career. And the way that they're perceived by their peers is super important for very good reasons. And so it's perceived as a real risk in that sense to express an interest in something that has that strong intellectual sort of taboo attached to it. Over the decades, it's just become something that most academics, scientists, or those in the humanities would prefer to ignore. It's too hard. It's seen as a nonsense problem. And I'm not quite sure how to rectify that. I think the contribution I can make is to try and produce reasonable arguments that respond to the evidence in as an objective way as I can, and achieve what I'm trying to do here is a kind of centrist position on the phenomenon that avoids the extremes. You know, like the aliens are here, the government knows about it, there's a cover-up on one extreme, the other extreme being nothing's going on, nothing unusual is going on, it's all just nonsense. I think both of those are incorrect, and I think we should be aiming for something that's sort of balanced in the middle.
Mm. And Adam, do you just, I mean, obviously this is the thing that kind of intrigues me as you've sort of touched on there. Look, unidentified flying objects do exist, essentially. Doesn't mean we are visited by visitors from another planet. They are just flying objects that we don't know what they are. That can stand in for a great deal of things. But do you have a personal theory as to the origins of these unusual objects?
No, I don't, Sean. And I absolutely take your point that for anything to be considered a UFO, it just has to be something in the sky that the witness can't identify. Most UFOs are misidentifications of prosaic phenomena like weather balloons, various atmospheric phenomena that people on the ground are not trained to identify. Well, I'm not really interested in those. I'm interested in the stubborn 5%, where, like the Navy UFO footage is a great example, trained observers, highly skilled practitioners encountering physical phenomena, performing aerodynamically in ways that are beyond what we can achieve with their own aerospace technology, and also seeming to behave intelligently, as if they're under intelligent control. The giveaway to intelligent control is evasive maneuvers. Okay, so if a Navy pilot saw something in the sky that they didn't, they couldn't identify, and approached it, and it just stayed where it was, like a weather balloon might, or moves with the wind, not really a UFO. But when you have an object that seems to respond to the attempts of pilots to engage and moves against the direction of the wind, then we have something that I would regard as an intelligently controlled airborne object that's not apparently made by humans. That's where I put the full stop. I prefer not to theorize about origins or aliens or whatever. I think if we can just agree that that is something that's happening in the world, intelligently controlled or airborne objects, not made by humans, then we can maybe collectively start to approach that as the problem that's worthy of an explanation.
Mm. Well, Adam, I do greatly appreciate your time on this one this morning.
Thanks for having me again, Sean. Pleasure.